In Liberia, peace was a long time coming. The vicious civil wars there that began in 1989 lasted 14 years and spilled across Liberia's borders into neighboring countries. The conflict killed almost a quarter of a million people. But for the past dozen years, Liberians have not known war. During that time, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has been at the helm. Now Sirleaf, Africa's first elected female head of state, she's preparing to step down. And the race to fill her seat began in earnest today with the first round of voting. New York Times correspondent Helene Cooper is a Liberian-born American. We caught up with her in Liberia's capital, Monrovia. Helene says there's quite a cast of characters on the ballot today.
We have two former warlords who were very visible during the Liberian civil war that killed a quarter of a million people. We have a former professional football player who is very much believed to be a front runner right now, at least for the first round. We also have Alex Cummings, who is a former Coca-Cola executive who has come back to Liberia and is running for president. We have the vice president, Joseph Boakai. He's estranged right now from the president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, under which he serves. And then we have Prince Johnson. He's the guy who videotaped his forces cutting off Samuel Doe's ears while he sipped a beer back in 1990, and then they eventually had Doe killed. That can be seen on the internet. There's so many.
It's extraordinary.
Interesting. It's, it really is. I know, it's just like,
and all sorts of subplots in between all
of
these
people. Yeah.
Several of these candidates have histories in those brutal civil wars in Liberia. I'd think that would be a toxic thing to be a presidential candidate.
The thing to remember is this was a civil war and everybody had sides. Here in Liberia, you know, the Charles Taylor people all point to, you know, the Samuel Doe people as the ones who perpetrated the horrors, and they think that they won't say that they were innocent, but they think that they were fighting for a just cause, and vice versa.
Regardless of who triumphs in this election, it seems pretty clear that 12 years of female rule will draw to a close. There is one woman running. She's not polling too well, I read. How is gender coming to play in this contest as Ellen Johnson Sirleaf prepares to leave?
Well, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, as you just mentioned, was the first woman ever democratically elected president of an African country. She was brought into office by these women who were fed up with war and believed that the men had taken the country to war and a woman would see to the peace. And that largely happened under her rule. We've had 12 years of peace under Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and she's doing something now that's pretty extraordinary for an African ruler, in that she's stepping down at the end of her term. You know, we don't do that much here on the continent. And she's put in place and a level of freedom of speech in this country that we've never had before, then I think that's probably going to be one of her more lasting legacies. The women of Liberia staged a huge rally yesterday on the streets of Monrovia, and they had this big sign up that they were demonstrating and dancing in front of that said, "Don't touch our peace." And that was sort of a warning to the male candidates.
There is this one party, the Unity Party, and it does seem that gender politics are coming to play with them. This is the party that's headed by Sirleaf's now estranged vice president. Tell us their slogan.
Well, one of the slogans that their guys came up with is, "Our ma spoil it, our pa will fix it." And the ma in this case is Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and the pa is Joseph Boakai, her vice president. They're not getting along too well right now, and it's over a host of sundry misdeeds. You know, he's mad at her because she said that he needed to, you know, she wasn't going to hand him the presidency. He needed to go out and fight for it himself.
Yeah. We should note that there were a lot of female activists who thought when Ellen Johnson Sirleaf got to power, she would rein in corruption, she would prioritize health care and education and end unemployment. But that didn't happen. Why not?
No. There's a lot of disappointment in her reign, and I think a lot of that is her own fault. For one thing, that she has thrown corrupt officials out of her government, but she hasn't prosecuted them. That's a big deal here. She's also guilty of charges of nepotism. You know, she's appointed her sons to high government positions. So that's rubbed people the wrong way as well. And then the development here, and this part isn't necessarily her fault. There's been a fall in commodities prices that's really shaken the Liberian economy. That said, you know, she had a huge hole to dig out of because the country had just gone through 14 years of horrific civil war. You know, you had an entire society that seemed to have lost any idea of what social mores or respect for your elders or anything was like. You had children who had seen nothing, an entire generation had seen nothing but war, women who'd had their children kidnapped and turned into child soldiers. All of that has gone away now. But it's not enough when you're still looking at a third world country that's still desperately poor.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, having read The House at Sugar Beach, your memoir, mm-hmm. it's clear that Liberia is in many ways a tiny country where everyone seems to know each other, even today. Mm-hmm. A lot of these candidates running today with their tainted past, do all those old traumatic war histories reemerge in this election process? And what does it feel like for you personally?
It does in some cases. And then in some cases, like Liberians, you know, it's different for me because I live in the United States now. So whenever I come back to Liberia, I'm filled with a lot of memories of the past. But the Liberians who are here, who are living with it every day, I think they become more numb to it. For instance, just an hour ago, as I was driving to get this phone call from you, I went down the road, the shortcut behind the army barracks where my uncle was executed on the beach by a firing squad. And whenever I go down that road, I think about it. But today, I'm just realizing right now, I drove myself down there and I didn't. It was just part of the route, part of the landscape. And I think if you're here long enough, it just becomes sort of the background music of your life.
New York Times correspondent Helene Cooper in Monrovia, Liberia's capital, for today's election. Thanks so much for giving us your time.
Thanks, Marco.